Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, old school. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, this ain't for everybody. Some of y'all need to hear this. I know you're in the trenches fighting, but check it out. I'm going to put it down like this so I can help the saints understand. Everything you're going through is all part of the master plan. Or what? You thought because you got saved everything was going to be peaches and cream? You better wake up, son. Don't nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. Faith without works is dead. Read your Bible. You know what it says. He who don't work, don't eat. Slackers don't get fed. Yeah. Jesus said, he who puts his hands to the plow looks back the same ain't fit. Some of y'all ain't been in the trenches 5 minutes and you're about ready to quit. I ain't mad at ya, I'm just hitting you with the real. If you died for me, I was still tripping. Now how you think that make you feel? Check this out, deep game, this here's deep, huh? Some of y'all ain't sawing nothing but your study trying to reach, huh? But unto him who's able to possess your fathers by his glory. Struggles might be part of your testimony, but it ain't the end of the story. Now the point is since it was prophesied way back in the day. Choir, sing your hook right here and see if the church can relate.
I know we can make it.
To try you. You say, why you? But your shirt say, what would Jesus do? Why you asking if he ain't trying to do what he's saying? Huh? He told you he was going to have tribulations, but you thought he was playing. Huh? One minute you tell her how good God is and can't nobody beat the talk. The next minute you're back fighting so fast, look like you're moonwalking. Huh? Oh yeah, I'm preaching to myself because I ain't no better. It ain't like I've been following his every word, obeying it to the letter. But we soldiers, we got to remember that. Regroup, stay on point. Hey, yeah, bow down, confess, repent, stay humble, let him anoint. Huh? It ain't easy as I thought it was. I'd be lying if I told you that. But it showed up getting better all the time. Trust me, that's a fact. Ain't nothing we going through that can't be handled. God put that on his tongue. Like they say, you can shout now if you want to, because the battle's already won. So while you're going through the valley, don't even trip. You're going to be on top. Choir, send the hook line one more game. This time you don't stop.
I know we can make it.
We can make it.
Great show scheduled for you today. We have a very, very exciting show. A good friend of mine, Mr. Charlie Mack, will be in the building. If you don't know who Mr. Charlie Mack is, you will know shortly. Charlie Mack is a music entrepreneur, music publisher, music supervisor, music producer, composer, songwriter, recording engineer, public speaker, consultant, author, executive producer, and a highly sought after A&R executive. And I'm just so proud to call this young man my friend because he's doing the doggone thing. And if y'all know, you know how to get it done, pay attention because he got the blueprint. Charlie Mack, you're in the building.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fantastic, sir. Thank you for joining us today, man. I try to give our little listeners a little something, you know. But man, your list of accomplishments goes on and on and on and on, and I just cut it short because I think they'd rather hear it from you than me.
Well, I certainly appreciate the immaculate introduction. That was wonderful. I appreciate it.
Well, like I said, I had to cut it short, man, because it goes on and on and on, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to be guilty of name-dropping. I wanted you to do it.
Right. Well, it's fine. I mean, you know, that's just what we're dealing with. You know, we're very fortunate. I'll say that.
Right. We are definitely, definitely blessed. Well, Charlie, you know, I always like to start off the show with giving our listeners a little background for those five people in the world that don't know you, you know, to benefit those five, because I know the rest of the world, like I said, you've touched them one way or another. But let's walk our new listeners through who Charlie Mack is and how did you become you.
Okay. Well, basically, I'm just a very ambitious person. You know, I decided earlier along in my life as a child that I wanted to be successful, and I made up my mind. And, you know, I've worked all my life to be that. And, you know, at some point I looked up and I saw that I was, you know, but it's still a very humbling position to be in for myself personally. You know, when you can literally say people can hear what you do, millions of people hear what you do every day, it is a very humbling place to be. And not even necessarily knowing that I'm behind the scenes doing as much as I'm doing, it's just a great place to be in because I have my freedom. I'm not a prisoner of my success. You know, I can still, you know, go certain places and not really be known, and that's a great thing. And I can buy what I like and do what I like, and no one comes up and bothers with me. You know, so that's a great thing. But as far as who I am and how I got to where I am, it was a lot of sacrifices. I made a lot of sacrifices in life, personally and professionally. I lost a lot of people on the way. I mean, and I don't mean just losing people in relationships. You know, people have passed on, and you know, that's just part of the experience of life. But along the way, I have picked up some great people and some people that have really, really believed in what I did and what I do and helped to enhance what I've done and what I do. And, you know, I've been very fortunate for that as well. So it has been a lot of sleepless nights. Let's just say it that way.
Right. Well, understandably so. I mean, music publisher, you know, tell us a little bit about that. Actually, well, let me ask you this one first. I mean, did you just grow up and decided that you wanted to be in the music business, or how
okay.
did that happen?
Well, let's see. I guess I must have been maybe around, I don't know, maybe 10, 11 or something, and I saw Run DMC and fell in love with music at that point. You know, I saw them, I think they were doing something on MTV or something. It was very early on when rap and hip hop wasn't really on TV, and they were some of the first artists that I actually saw on television. And that kind of influenced me and made me want to become more so a DJ. That was my first excursion off into the music business, or just, you know, music in general. And, I started DJing. I guess I got my first turntable. I got one turntable. I had a turntable and a boombox, and I was trying to throw parties with a turntable and a boombox. But eventually I was able to get some speakers and stuff like that, and you know, it kind of grew from there. I did local parties and stuff, you know, around the area where I grew up at, and wind up getting access to some recording equipment. Like back then, it was like four-track recorders. That was really you know, what you had to use, and if you were trying to get your stuff recorded, cassette tapes and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So that's really ancient to a lot of you know, the guys that's coming up now. You know, they probably don't even know what a cassette tape looks like, you know. But I wound up getting a drum machine and learning how to make beats and stuff. I had to be about 13 at this time. By this time, 13, 14 years old, and you know, started mixing my beats with the records that were popular at the time, and doing that during the parties, and kind of developed from there. You know, I wind up going to college, doing a little bit of college. I left college and moved to Las Vegas to pursue my dream, and didn't really capture it right away. You know, it was a lot of struggling, you know, a lot of suffering. But I was able to get some of my father mailed my equipment from Florida, which is where I'm originally from. And when it got to me, the turntables were wrecked. You know, UPS destroyed my stuff. You know, my little recorder and stuff was busted, you know. So they cut me a check and reimbursed me for the equipment's value, which wasn't very much at the time, but it was enough for me to go out and try to get some new equipment. And I wound up getting some new stuff. I bought some new drum machine, a new recorder, and some new turntables. And, you know, I was off and running right out in Las Vegas. I started doing parties again and, you know, started mixing the beats and stuff. Some people took interest, bought some computers, started using the computers to make beats and stuff. And then I stopped DJing for whatever reason. I forget what it was. I think I had a crazy party and didn't quite go right. So I just kind of went, you know, straight to making beats and stuff, and kind of started producing people and recording people, and, you know, just kind of developed from there. You know, it just kind of went, but it didn't happen right away though. It was a long, as you could tell, it was a long process, but, you know, now, you know, at the point to where I'm at now I'm actually in the position to help others' dreams come true. And, you know, not everybody's going to make it. I mean, you know, you just have to be honest with yourself as far as, you know, what you're trying to do. And if you do, in fact, have the talent, all talented people don't make it either. You know, so just because you have talent doesn't mean that you're actually going to be a success with that talent. You know, there's a lot of successful people that are success at what they are not talented at. You know, so it just happens that way sometimes. There's a lot of people that have talent. I'm sure there's more than one Michael Jordan in the world. He just didn't make it to the NBA. You know what I mean? So, right. You know, it was, you know, that's just the way things go. So, you know, I've been very fortunate. I kind of carved out my own lane, and, you know, and I'm driving fast as hell in this lane.
You know what I mean? Ironic, because, you know, as for a talented person, one that was actually producing music, to go over in your lane is actually kind of like a rarity, because most singers, songwriters, they don't have the niche or the knowledge in your lane that they should, because that's where, you know, the real money is. Let's tell us a little bit about Machiavelli Music Group. Was that one of your first endeavors? Because, you know, I'm seeing that, you know, you've played some music, MTV, Epic, VH1, Shady, Aftermath, Atlantic, 40 Acres, Cash Money, Def Jam, Warner Brothers, Elektra, Asylum, Interscope, Geffen. I mean, I can go on, you know, Nike. I mean,
sure.
That's hell of a right there. I mean, was that one of your first companies that you created?
Well, actually, Machiavelli is not my company. Machiavelli Music Group is a label that was started by Kendrick Lassane. They call him Kenny Black, and he's Tupac's first cousin. And he brought me on about 3 years ago to help run the company, and right now they're just, you know, kind of dealing with some other music related issues and things like that, just trying to make sure everything stays. But it's kind of, right now, the Machiavelli thing is kind of, you know, kind of sitting still a little bit, you know. But my business, Mac-A-Million-Dollar Man Music, has been, you know, we started in like 2004. So we've been around for a while. We've been around a good solid 10 years publishing and producing, and, you know, producing way before that, but just really open to the public for about 10 years. Now, the way that it works is the affiliation comes from the music getting placed in television shows, interviews, and things of that nature. That's where the affiliation comes from, as far as, like, say, for instance, there was a show on MTV that ran for a number of years. It was called Sucker Free, and they had the week show, and the weekend show was Sucker Free Sundays. And it was two different shows, but one ran through the week for a half hour, and then the one on the weekend, the Sunday one, ran for an hour. And they would interview everybody. I mean, that was kind of like one of the things that had me affiliated with so many different artists, because 50 Cent would be talking in an interview, and then they'd be playing my tracks behind what he was doing. Same thing with various artists. I could just run down, like, Mos Def, Common. I mean, I could just keep going. There's so many, you know, that at that time, during that show, that I was able to get so much music placed behind various artists on that show. So that was a real, it was a real blessing, you know, in terms of exposure. And, you know, you have millions of people watching these shows. You know, kids are watching these shows, adults are watching these shows. Pretty much everybody is watching this stuff, trying to find out what these artists are going to do, where they're at, how they can be involved with them, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, it was really a great thing.
Right. And I'm also seeing that you've, you know, placed music in the international markets as well.
Yeah, you know, that's been like some of my favorite places in the world. I mean, like Canada is like, man, it's a great country. And, you know, they really, the people that I've been able to deal with music-wise in Canada has really been a blessing to my business and in a number of ways. Australia has been great for me. Denmark even has been great for my business. And, you know, I have people in Japan and in Germany and, you know, pretty much anywhere you can think of that you can actually do anything. I've really turned over just about every rock I can, you know.
Wow, which is a wonderful thing. Well, like, if we got the artists out there that have any questions, the call in number is 347-308-8747. While we have Mr. Charlie Mack here, another question for you, sir. For an artist that wanted to, say, get in contact with you, or how would they go about setting themselves up to approach you to even submit their music to you for possible licensing considerations?
Well, you know, we have a website that we've ran. It's called whosthehottestrapper.com. We've ran that website for about 8 years. I think we started it in maybe 2005, 2006, something like that. But primarily, when I started the website, it was primarily to try to sell beats. That was the thing. You know, we was trying to sell beats and trying to...
Charlie, hold on. I don't mean to interrupt you. May I just start?
No, fine.
Before we get there, could you explain exactly what licensing is? Let's do that, because a lot of artists,
sure, and
I don't want to say who knows what and who don't knows what, but they don't really understand,
sure,
what that is. Now, I don't know if they're embarrassed to ask somebody or,
right,
you know what I mean? I don't think they know. So let's give them that,
well,
and then we'll go into how you get that.
Okay, good. Well, this is the thing, and it's a very well-known fact. People don't like to look stupid, you know. So when you ask a question that you are supposed to already know the answer to, it kind of makes you feel uncomfortable. So you're not going to ask those questions. People are not going to, you know, I've had people contact me and ask me how much would it cost to, you know, get their music licensed. And that's not how it works. You don't pay to get your music licensed. You get paid to license your music. It's the other way around. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there are submission fees and stuff like that. You know, that's a common thing. But basically music licensing is the actual license or right to sync the music with film or TV or audio visual. So that's basically what licensing is. Say, for instance, any commercial that you see on television for any automobile company, Cadillac, Mercedes-Benz or whatever, the music in the background of those commercials, that's licensing. That music was licensed. They paid that artist X amount of dollars, sometimes tens of thousands of dollars, to use that particular piece of music in their advertisement. And that's a very common thing. I mean, music licensing on television shows, music licensing as far as like anything that goes in the background of the show. If you're watching, say, for instance, Love and Hip Hop, you'll hear a lot of music. They use a lot of music, a lot of tracks to move the show along, and it's very important to have those songs in the show. And then you might also hear somebody selling their album. They may be promoting their album in the show, and you'll see a little name of the artist run around in the bottom of the corner. They may flash the album cover or something like that. That's still music licensing. Some people allow the networks to license their music without having to pay them anything for in exchange for the promotion, because to put your music in front of millions of potential fans, you know, that you can make millions of downloads in a matter of moments just being exposed to that type of crowd. So music licensing essentially is the act of someone paying to license the music, to actually use the music next to audio visual. So in advertising, in television, in film, in video games, that's all licensing. Any music used in that, that's all music licensing, and it's all extremely valuable.
And that leads me into my next thing, the art of licensing music.
Right.
That's where you're supposed to go. I'm speaking to Charlie Mack, the book author, right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a book. It's an ebook. The Art of Licensing Music is an ebook that I wrote. It's on Kindle, Amazon, I think. Yeah. And you can buy it. I think it's only like maybe $5 or $10 or something like that. But it has a lot of information. It's straight to the point. It's not a lot of fluff. It gives you instruction, direction, and information basically to try to help you understand what it's all about. You know, a lot of people just aren't familiar with the process, and, you know, it's still a very, very unknown in the music business, but it's a very large sector. It's continuously growing, and people are making millions of dollars licensing music, and companies are getting tremendous amounts of revenue streams from performance royalties and stuff like that. So it is definitely something that an artist, and I mean, it's extreme exposure. You just imagine last year we did Black Ink Crew and had about 94 tracks in the last season of Black Ink. Now, that means every episode, yeah, I think they have maybe about 18 episodes or something like that. So you just figure about 7, maybe 8 songs every episode. You know, so that's not a lot, but it's a lot, you know, because some people are struggling trying to get one placement, you know, and we're talking about getting nearly 100 in just one show, you know. So that is the amount of exposure that you can reach. I mean, you know, some of the episodes were, I think, maybe 3-4 million people, you know, 2 million people, even 1 million people. That's a tremendous amount of people to have your music exposed to at one time. You know, you can't even fill a stadium that big, you know.
No doubt. And it's people just don't understand, you know, companies, you know, like Sprint and Amazon and
right,
all these other companies, Microsoft, all of these companies license music. They hear it every day. They hear it at Walmart. I mean, on and on. You know, these people license music, but a lot of artists, they're not even, you know, they're not even thinking on that level yet for some reason.
Right, and we have licensed music to companies like Microsoft, Amazon, Google. You know, we've licensed music to some of the major corporations in the world, but, you know, doesn't mean that they pay out a whole lot of money, because most of the people or most of the companies that are established, you know, people are vying for those positions. So it's a very competitive thing as well. You know, it's not always a whole lot of money at one time. Sometimes it's a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, you know. But the object of it is to get as much of it as you can. You know, so,
right. As
you know,
long
you
want to
continue to keep going.
As much as you can, as long as you can.
Right.
So,
yeah, we average about 3,000 placements a year.
That's great. That's great for any company to say, you know.
Sure.
Now, so tell me this one. For a company, for a guy, should I say, an artist to come up with you? I know they can go pick up your book, but how would they start with you? I mean, what do they need to do?
Well, we use a lot of different services. We've used a lot of different submission sites and stuff like that. I mean, you can look up Charlie Mack on Music X-Ray. I'm there recruiting artists personally. You can go through whosthehottestrapper.com and submit music for various opportunities. We continuously have things open for record labels as well as film, TV, video games, advertising. You know, you have it. You know, we're actually chasing after it. You know, so there's a lot of opportunity there. The easiest way is probably to go through the website. If you're trying to build a relationship with us, you know, sending us messages on Facebook and sending stuff like that is not necessarily going to really get, you know, not get my attention personally. You know, we do have a few people that are staffed out. You know, we have about three or four different A&R people that work various positions, A&R plus sales, A&R plus promotion, distribution, and what have you, you know. So, you know, my position is basically A&R, music supervisor, and CEO. So I do a lot of different things. I wear a lot of different hats. You know, I write for a magazine also called Street Motivation. So I'm busy doing that also. I'm also doing various things. At any given time, I have a couple of shows that I'm producing, internet web series that I'm producing, a couple of different TV shows that are in development for local television stations, and just doing a number of other things. I mean, it's just I'm busy all the time.
Right. So the best way to reach you email wise, would that be whosthehottestrapper.com? Is that the best way for
people? Yeah. All of our contact information is on the website. So if someone was trying to reach out to me specifically, I do answer my own emails. Sometimes, you know, if I'm not available, someone may forward it to me, you know, for the purpose of me to reply back to it, but I do answer my own emails. And you can get us on Facebook. You can get us on Instagram. Instagram is MacAMillionDollarMan. Music, you can find us there. On Instagram, you can find us on basically the same thing on Facebook, MacAMillionDollarMan Music. And on Twitter is Who's the Hottest, short for Who's the Hottest Rapper. And then, you know, same thing, you know, with Who's the Hottest Rapper has us on Facebook and all the other social media sites and stuff as well. So you can find us. I mean, if you Google Charlie Mack, you're gonna find some crazy stuff. But but if you're looking, if you say music, you say Mack $1 Million Music, you're gonna definitely find me. You say Who's the Hottest Rapper, you're gonna definitely find me. So that's pretty much the easiest way to get a hold of us is, you know, through our website. It's info@whosthehottestrapper.com.
Wow. Let me ask you this one, man. I know you're busy and you gotta go. Let me ask you this one. How important do you feel that social media is to the music industry today? Because I know you've been in it for a while when social media wasn't what it is today. But how
right.
do you feel that it is today? Because I noticed there's quite a few artists. Well, let me put it this way. The younger generation is more in tune, you know, with the information highway and the internet and social media. And you know, being able to sell music through that form. But a lot of the old school artists, should I say, they're not as computer lit. So how is my question to you is, how important do you feel it is today?
Oh, my God. I couldn't even express the importance of using the tool of the internet. I mean, the internet basically has afforded me the success that I have. I wouldn't be able to reach the people that I'm able to reach if it were not for the internet. There's a certain way to do it. But then, of course, just like anything else, things get old. So what has happened is over the years it was, you know, very important. It's still extremely important. You can't do without it, really. But in the beginning it was more of a trying to understand how to use it. And now people have devised and designed ways to use it more effectively. And, you know, somebody is always trying to do some type of promo or something online or something. So, you know, and everybody says that they know how to do X amount of things. They can get you more friends. They can get you more of this, more of that. And that's all fine and well. But, you know, you really want things to build organically. You want people to find out about you from your own promo, from you requesting them to come to you. It's extremely important to utilize these resources as much as possible, because it's kind of like years ago we used to do street promotions. I mean, people still do street promotions. It's still very effective way of promoting, you know, concerts and events and things of that nature, which is great. But it's used in collaboration with the internet. So people are throwing events. They're going to have an event page on Facebook. They're going to be, you know, tweeting and you know, taking pictures on Instagram and stuff like that. It's all necessary. And that's, I mean, like, there's no other way that you can reach somebody, say, for instance, in Tokyo in, like, a moment. You know, you could post it, and your people, your fans, the people that follow you in Tokyo, they're just as informed as the people that are right down the street from you.
You just made me crack a smile when you said street promotion, because I remember when we was putting posters on the telephone pole
right
up and down Highland and Hollywood Boulevard, and
right.
one day I got a $1,700 fine for defacing city property, and then I called
right.
myself getting slick, right? So we're not going to put the label name on no more posters that we do that with, right? And
right.
We didn't put the label information on there in the next series of posters for the next artist, but it didn't really make no difference because they had the name of
they
the group.
They already knew.
And all they did
right.
researched the group, and I had
right.
another $1,700 bill for destroying city property.
Right, right. Yeah. No, we did that a lot in Las Vegas, too. We promoted heavily around UNLV, the college. You know, we went out to Arizona, Phoenix. We went out to L.A. and promoted. You know, I've been on the street, too. So, you know, in order to get to this position, you know, you have to kind of start out as a foot soldier, you know, in order to get there, you know. So, absolutely.
And that's another thing the artists don't understand. When you're promoting a project, I mean, you know, it's, I mean, what do you say is off limits, really? I mean, you know, I mean, I remember before they was even doing bus benches and, you know, different
right.
things. That's common
right.
things that people utilize on a daily, when people weren't even thinking along that line. But when you're trying to get the word out and let people know what you're doing, I mean, you really have to think out of the box and be creative, especially today's date.
Yeah. Today, I mean, because everybody has, you know, everybody has Wi-Fi, everybody has access to the internet, so it's kind of like, you know, you really do have to be creative, you really do have to be forward-thinking and thinking outside of the box, you have to be thinking, you know, on a higher plane even so much, you know, I mean, you have to be thinking, you know, futuristically, you know what I'm saying, in order to be ahead of the curve. I mean, like, you know, the one thing that I have been very blessed for is that, you know, the music that I've created personally is still being used. I mean, I have music from 10 years back that's still being used in today's television shows and stuff like that, in films and stuff like that, mainly because I decided not to do what everybody else was doing at the time. Now I still, you know, I can go and make, you know, tracks like whoever, you know, Timberland, Dre, whoever, Kanye, whoever, it doesn't really matter, you know, but my own personal productions, the stuff that I make that sounds like me, those are the ones that I wind up getting the furthest with, or getting the most, basically making the most money out of. You know, you can make sound-alikes all the time, you know, and that's something that's very popular nowadays. You know, you hear people that are, somebody's popular, somebody's hot, so you go and make tracks like this guy that's hot, you think you're going to get on. I think the biggest wave that I saw go down like that was everybody was trying to do T-Pain. You know, everybody was like, okay, I'm going to do this auto-tune and I'm going to get a deal. You know, that was real big when he was hot, you know, but that didn't necessarily go down like that. And, you know, it's, you know, it's only so many people that can actually get away with doing stuff like that before somebody starts saying, you know, it's dead.
Right. It's not original.
Right.
And that's funny how this industry is. Sometimes they want you to sound like somebody, and sometimes that works, like you said, but other times if you sound too much like somebody, it don't work.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, you gotta be careful with that. I mean, the best thing, really, I tell all the artists that I work with, you know, the 70-plus artists that I have signed under my publishing company, I tell them, you know, you need to be original. You know, I don't necessarily want stuff that sounds exactly like this guy. I don't want stuff that sounds like Katy Perry or Taylor Swift or 2 Chainz or French Montana or whoever. You know what I'm saying? I don't want stuff that sounds like them because they already got a spot. We need new
right.
stuff. We need stuff that sounds like stuff ain't nobody heard before because that's what's going to help us advance. You know, if we sound like everybody else, what's the difference? They can just go to somebody else and get the same thing. Now, of course, they're going to pay a lot more money. You know, but when you have something that people can't go and buy just down the street, then you have, you know, supply and demand. You know, you created a commodity, something that not everybody can have, you know, but I mean, everybody wants it.
Let me ask you this question because you brought another thought to mind. Do you think any of this has anything to do with the lack of music education that young adults or kids have access to in the schools?
Well, you know what, I'd have to say yes. I mean, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, education, when you go into that subject, just music and education, I mean, it's not really up to the school system to teach our children to appreciate culture or to appreciate art. It's really up to the parents. You know, like, you know, I'll just give you a for instance. You know, my daughter loves music, obviously. You know, she's into music. But, you know, they don't really necessarily have a music class. But you can buy, you know, into the after-school programs. So she's taking all of the keyboard classes and piano stuff or whatever that, you know, the schools offer. But, yes, I do believe that as a result of the music being missing out of school or missing in school, it is – a little bit of, you know, kids are going to suffer, you know, musically, you know, because they're just not going to have access to that equipment. You know, like when I was growing up, you know, it was, you know, we had band and all this stuff, you know what I'm saying? So we had access to instruments and, you know, it was really going down, you know, and now,
right.
you know,
well,
things have changed.
That's where I was going with it for our educators and our city officials and all those people
right.
that hear this show. And I concur the same thing with me. When I was growing up, we had bands, we had choirs, we had, you know, harmony and different stuff in schools, which actually prepared us, you know, to actually
right.
play music. We learned how to
right.
read music. We learned how to write music. But
right.
when they took a lot of that out of schools, the only people to learn how to play piano or keyboards were, should I say, the upwardly mobile people because they had the surplus cash to pay for these lessons that the kids could
right.
not ordinarily get in school. And what I'm
right.
finding out now is because of that, we're lacking a lot of actually musicians where you can say come in and hand them a chart and they could actually read that chart and play. They'll sit up and
right.
tell you, well, man, I could play it, but you need to play it for me. And my thought
right.
is if I need to play it for you, I'll play it myself. But
exactly.
I can't hold them down for that because they're only doing what they know how to do. So I guess
right.
What I'm trying to say, all in all, I think the industry is suffering. We came up with a lot of computer lit kids. They know how
right.
to sample. They know how to make music that way, but they don't
sure.
know how to play instruments anymore. So, and I think that coming back into the industry again, we're suffering because we're not generating new musicians, not like we did before.
I would love to see it get back to what it was, but I just don't think that you know, society is patient enough to do it. I think that we're a society that's looking for everything right now. So if it's something that takes a little bit too much time, like, you know, kids, they don't even want to sit down and read anymore. You know, a good book will take you a whole nother place, a whole nother world. But kids don't even want to read anymore. They'd rather, you know, watch stuff on television. They'd rather play on their iPads, play video games and stuff like that, which is, I mean, you know, cognitive skills are very important. Of course, you know, hand-eye coordination, all that stuff is very important. But, you know, chances are, you know, I mean, the only people that really work with their hands, you know, in the real world, you know, are people that do labor. You know, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, if you have good hand-eye coordination, you could be a great athlete. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you could be a great mechanic possibly or something like that, which is nothing, you know, nothing wrong with being any of those. You know, my father's a mechanic, a great mechanic, you know what I mean? But, you know, I don't necessarily see him, you know, doing open heart surgery. You know what I mean? You know, that type of stuff.
Which is a mechanic on another level.
Exactly. You know, so.
Definitely. Wow. Let me see. Has anything that we haven't covered yet, Charlie Mack? I'm trying to think here. Well, you told us how to go out and get music license, and you told us how to go to the bank and withdraw a lot of money. No, we left out that part.
Yeah. don't want to touch that one.
No, seriously, man. We definitely appreciate you for coming through and spending some time with us, man. And we have a film that we're working on as well, the Bridget Harris story. So definitely we're going to be reaching out to you ourselves for some to license some music for our
Absolutely.
Film. And definitely for any artists that you have and working with that you want to run through here, please do. You know, our doors is always open for you, man. You know, we've been knowing each other for almost 10 years now, too, you know. But
it's been a while, It's been a while.
Haven't sat down yet, but we definitely going to get it done this go-around, man, because I definitely respect your grind. I respect what you're doing. And
thank you.
I wish I could look at more, should I say, guys in your age group, and I can say that because I'm a little older than you, that would have your charisma, your personality, and should I say your professionalism, man. It's definitely refreshing to talk to somebody that is just, you know, up and up about his business and trying to do some positive things and, you know, with an uplifting spirit, man. So I can just say my hat's off to you again, man.
Hey, thank you, and same to you. I mean, hey, you know, you're opening doors and, you know, giving people like myself a voice, you know, to be heard. And, you know, that's important, you know, because if we're able, you know, we can't take it with us. And if we're able to share this knowledge, you know, maybe we can, you know, have a few more people, you know, like ourselves to, you know, to help enhance the world.
Right. Because it is true, you know, each one teach one. It's just unfortunate that as many people don't listen as they should, and they say if you want to hide something from some people, put it between two.
Put it in a book.
Book covers.
Right.
Put it between two book covers, you know.
Right.
And they'll never get it. But for the people that are inquisitive, like ourselves, the people that are adventurous, like ourselves, the pitches are entrepreneurs, like ourselves. You know, stay curious, stay positive, you know, and learn your craft. You know, that's the first thing you need
Absolutely.
To do. Learn.
Yes. No, that would be the best advice I can give to anyone. The other thing is that I told this to a client a few days ago. We were having a meeting, and he asked, you know, so what would be, you know, your advice, you know, as far as like dealing with other people and doing business with other people. And I just told him, I said, well, you know, if you are the smartest person in your circle of friends, you need a new set of friends, you know, because you cannot grow with people that are at the same level as you. You have to go and deal with people that are in different positions that can help you. If you guys are all doing the same thing, you know, nobody's going to advance. You know, maybe you can come back and help the guys that are not at the level, or you guys are all at the same level. If you go to another level, you can come back and get somebody and bring them up with you.
Well, That is so true on a whole bunch of levels, you know. It made me think about, what's his name, Billy Preston's song.
Oh, okay.
But somebody got to be able to help somebody. Other than that, I mean, you both end up being stuck, you know.
Right.
A lot of times. But again, mm-hmm. I want to say thank you, sir, for coming through, spending time with us, and hey,
my
come
pleasure.
Back anytime, brother. We'd love to have you, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you again. And for all your listeners, you know, you guys all have a fantastic day. Appreciate it.
Throw your website. Throw it out there one more time before you go, Charlie.
You can find my website is whosthehottestrapper.com. You can look me up on Facebook, Mac a Million Dollar Man Music, or whosthehottestrapper.com. On Facebook, Who's the Hottest on Twitter, Mac a Million Dollar Man Music on Instagram.
And if you guys didn't get the beginning of the show, I guess iTunes, a podcast would have it, and everywhere else. You know, all you got to do is Google me, Google I Am Indie, Google Charlie Mac, and you guys will be able to hear the show from the beginning. Or you can also go to blogtalkradio.com/IndieIs, and you can get the show that way. But it's available worldwide, and for you guys it's in China, Japan, Singapore, wherever else, you guys can hear the show too. You don't want to miss it. I think it was a dynamic show. Charlie Mac put it down for you, show you how to get your music license, get it on these TV shows, get on these commercials, on these cartoons, get it, might even get sponsorship, who knows. But this is the man. Get with him. You heard it right here on I Am Indie. Alrighty then.
Yeah, this is your man, J.R. Perry, from Love Drops. Yeah, I'm keeping it locked every Wednesday at I Am Indie, where you get your smooth urban hip-hop independent music, baby. From 2 p.m., hosted by my man, J.D., putting it down. I Am Indie. Check it out.
Here is my plea. understand the brother because he was so intense. He knew he loved me deep within, but he wouldn't tell me because I was a married woman. Y'all understand? And I had designs, and he had designs, but our designs were stopped. So to the forefront comes the problem. How do I get out? Just too deep. I got out of his car after he called me crazy, y'all, and just walked on up the street. Didn't even go in my home. See, it took 16 years for me to see. There's beauty in some smiles that last and last and last.
Good morning, heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning, heartache, thought we said goodbye last night. I turned in house till it seemed that you had gone. But here you are with the dawn. Wish I'd forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love had gone away. Thought you'd stay by saying to you, good morning, heartache, what's new? Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when. Might as well get used to you hanging around. Good morning, heartache. Sit down. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good morning. That was Miss Lena Loy, produced by Mr., should I say, the late, great Augie Johnson, produced that track called Good Morning with vocal stylist Miss Lena Loy. You listen to your boy K. Diddy, the Elixir of Love, right here on I Am Indie, brought to you by Cultured Pearls Entertainment and World Movement Records. You know who we be. If you don't know, you need to ask somebody. Ask your mama to ask your daddy to ask somebody. Ask them to ask somebody else if they don't know. You know what I'm saying? Ha, ha, ha. Well, we had a great show. And if you haven't heard the beginning, please go check us out, worldmovement.com, and you could get this, the show for today. You can go to I Am Indie. No, let me back up. blogtalkradio.com. Floored. I couldn't get that forward. Floored, right? blogtalkradio.com/IndieIs. IndieIzz. You know, pick it up. Listen to the show. I'm sure you can pick up some jewels that will help you in your career. So come back, see us next time. 2 p.m. PST. Philadelphia, K Dizzle, the whole crew. You know, we out. Cultured Pearls, World Movement Records. We out. Come see us. You know, here's one for you on the way out the door.
My family.